open our Bibles, and we're in 1 Peter and chapter 3, and we left off in verse 8, and we'll pick it up there, and God willing, I think He has such a feast for us this evening. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. One mind. His mind. One mind is His mind. And the special emphasis, I believe, here, brothers and sisters, is for all of us to be one mind in faith. One mind in faith, and especially in the paramount truths. Salvation through the blood. Eternal security. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. Evidenced by speaking in tongues. A bridal company, that separate body out from among the church. And all of them obtained the same way by grace through faith. See, those are the things that we'll have oneness in. And that supersedes everything. All of our indifferences, dislikes, likes, naturally, whatever it may be. His mind. His mind is what brings us together. His mind is what brings that unity in spirit in this meeting and in brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And I thought of the sweetness of the convention that just went on. We had brothers and sisters of like precious faith here together in this meeting and in like precious faith of paramount truths. Now there are, and I want you to know, there are subtle differences in vision. It's going to be that way. God knows. But is it about winning Christ? Is it about finishing with joy? Is it about loving His appearing? And is it all by grace? And to that I say, praise be to God. And in that there's oneness in Him. And in that I just trust the Lord that, you know what? Even though you might be otherwise minded in something, He'll make that known unto you. What do you think? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's keep focusing upon Him tonight, brothers and sisters. Not be distracted. Let's tend upon the things of the Lord. Praise God. All right. So I think we're just encouraged to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and just be thankful that others are running well. What do you think? Huh? Oh, yes. I love to see those beautiful runners. And that's kind of the end of this verse anyways, is to be compassionate. That's the burden for the body. That's being full of Philadelphia love, being tender-hearted, being kind. That's what God is promoting, and that's what God wants in His people. All right, verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, here we go. What is our natural reaction when somebody does us wrong? Get even. What comes around goes around, but I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to bring it on. I'm going to be the hammer. Hammer time, huh? See, that's our natural being there. But see, this is completely different what God is bringing out here. He wants us to give and receive blessing. Did you know that? That you can be a vessel that He can bring blessing through? But you need to receive that blessing first. But see, this is what God wants. He wants us to do good unto them that despitefully use you. And I'm thankful. I'm hearing a lot of that testimony, especially in your jobs. Even here in the meeting, we understand that God truly has brought us together. We're compactly fit. And I'm telling you, whenever you get people tight together, there's going to be some problems. It's exciting. Yeah. Somebody didn't practice hygiene, huh? No, I'm just kidding. But what it really is it's diamonds cutting diamonds. And it is. We talked about that. Now, sometimes, brothers and sisters, and the Lord was, I believe He's so full of wonderful humor, as He encouraged me, He said, yep, son, and sometimes you're going to be walking in diamond dust all the way up to your neck. So you can't even move. And you heard me say, Lord, one time, I said, Lord, I feel like my legs have been cut out from under me. And they said, oh, no, look down in faith. And you know what? I saw the most beautiful, strong legs I've ever seen in my life. See, they're His. They're becoming what He wants them to be. And this is only what God can do. And see, what it says in this verse here, verse 9, is this is a scheduled appointment. You have scheduled appointments with God. Did you know that? And this was scheduled in ages past. Isn't that precious? He was getting you all lined up. I remember working with dear Tammy. She would line up my day for me. She'd line up my week for me. She'd tell me when to go eat lunch. She'd tell me when to come back. You know, some people need a lot of care. High maintenance, huh? But that's, I'll tell you what, you're high maintenance. Don't think you're not. That's why you got a very God watching over you. You don't realize how fragile you are, how much you need Him, how you're so completely dependent upon Him. And He'll show you through these trials and these wonderful scheduled appointments in ages past that you were called to. You were called to these. And by the grace of God, I want to show up. You've heard me say that. The Lord's just asked me, He just said, son, all I want you to do is just show up today. Believe me. Believe me. Have faith. I'll fight your battle for you. Just show up in faith. Believe me, and I'll get you through. Praise God. Not just get you through, I'll lift you higher. But how about that, how about that blindside punch that brother so-and-so just gave you? Huh? Did you realize that God had that scheduled appointments before He ever set a star up there to twinkle in heaven? You think about these things. He knew that. That was the most important thing to Him. I love looking out into those telescopes. I tell you all the time, all the beautiful pictures you all send me of how infinite, really, our universe is. And how magnificent, and the colors that have been hidden out there. God had to put that out there, didn't He? Who's enjoying all those colors? So magnificent, so bright, so amazing, so beautiful. Boy, do I got a Creator. Hallelujah. But His greatest creation is in the process right now, and He's asking us to become His very masterpiece. That there's going to be a radiant beauty in her that's beyond anything that this eye has ever seen or ear ever heard. The glory that He wants to put in us, brothers and sisters, that's the hope of everything. Hallelujah. And God is inviting us into that. See, you didn't realize, though, that when He said all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, you were thinking it was a six-figure, maybe today, maybe it was a seven-figure salary. Come on now, let's be honest. Oh, that was a blessing. Look at that new car I got in my driveway. Well, that was a blessing, Lord. You took away my job. Yeah. Those are hard things. That was a blessing, Lord. A Christian brother just did me wrong. Come on. Those are the greatest of blessings, brothers and sisters. And you know why they're the greatest of blessings? Because it's the time that you're going to be tried in your life that you're going to be Christ-like if you want to be. Because only God can work in that. Only God can allow that kind of forgiveness to take place. Only God can bring the love that you can see, Lord, You love me so that You've allowed me, willed me to go through this. It's a precious thing. I'm telling you. You don't realize the unsearchable riches of His grace that He's pouring out to us right now. And brothers and sisters, this is what He is looking for. This is how God is pleased. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And faith comes through trial. And He wants to marvel at your faith. That's what He wants to do. Well, praise the Lord when we can thank Him. And I want to be able to thank Him in the good times. A lot of people have a hard time doing that. It's easy to come to church when you're low, but when you're high. When things are going good, I'm increased with wealth. What do I need God for? But see, we're all different. Sometimes we do get so low. Well, what's the use of coming to church? What's the use of praising Him? Do you see? We're all different. But there's one thing in common. We all need the same thing. We need Jesus. Amen. And that's the only thing that's going to solve it. Don't care what it is tonight. You're a needy person. I believe you know it. You wouldn't be at a Bible study. Oh, what God's doing. Praise His name. All right, verse 10. We got to hurry along. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And I say, looky here, what wondrous wisdom to live in a peaceful life. Keep your mouth shut. Huh? If you don't have something nice to say, maybe you shouldn't say it. Thinking of that computer, you know that trash bin little icon where you move it over there? See, don't say it and then ask God to, Lord, let's put it in the trash bin. Let's get rid of it. I'm right there. I hope you know. The Lord is preaching to me. And these are things in my life that, you know, Lord, we would like to see something different at times. But God, let me see you. That's the difference I need when I'm looking at somebody and thinking garbage or something wrong. And in a sense, I want to see the love of God. It's so much nicer, isn't it? It's so much more peaceful. There's just an absolute rest because I know who's in control. I say, Lord, thank you for lifting me. I was burdened, I think I told you, on Saturday. Just had a lot of fight going on. But then, you know, he comes in and he says, son, I'm on the throne. Did you not ask me if this is what you wanted, Lord? Did you not pray that, Lord, if you want this to come together, let's bring it together? Well, God did. And you know what? He gave me a rest in that. He says, well, then I'll take care of it. I'm going to do it my way. Now you stop it. You quit being selfish. You quit not trusting me. Get rid of your unbelief. Be still and know that I'm God. See, I'm still learning. I don't know about you, but I'm a slow learner. And I think sometimes he's got to send a lot of tribulation that way, huh? What do you think? Okay. But a soft answer, brothers and sisters, turns away wrath. And wrath is trouble. And I don't know about you, but I got enough trouble going on that, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Let me be slow to speak, quick to listen. And you talk about all the wisdom that's there, isn't it? I've told you many times before, I've always been one that I was never one of those that wished they had said something. Because I said it. It was just there. Oh, it got out and I got to get it back. Well, once it's out there. And then there was my sweet mom. She said, she'd always seem, oh, I wish I would have said this. I said, no, mother, you don't realize how much you're blessed. Just keep it that way. Stay right there. Just be patient on him. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 11. Let's go. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So eschew means here to turn away from evil. Because it's going to try us. God is allowing us to be tried, to be tested. And, you know, he's got the evil under control. He's got them on that chain, but he's prepared them for that day. But as the Lord's saying here, make the godly choice and avoid it. Avoid that evil. Turn away from it. But see, the blessing doesn't stop there. There's a greater blessing in this than just turning away from it. There's a full reward. Don't just turn away, but what does it say here? It says, do good. Do good. Do good. And what is that? Well, I could turn away from the evil one that's causing me a lot of problems. And I can turn and I'm not going to engage. But then I could have a heart full of bitterness and say, oh, that, I'm so thankful I'm not like her. Well, I turn from that evil. And I just shook hands with this one. Didn't I? Okay. I got the victory over here, and he wants me to get the victory over here. See, devil's always on the job. Always on the job. And he'll get you whatever way he can. He's there to kill, steal, and destroy. There's a victory for you. And I'm going to try to tell you, he'll try to give you self-righteousness right there to put your arm around. Oh, look at me. Oh, I'm not like that one. See, by the grace of God, I want to go from faith to faith to faith, to faith, and glory to glory to glory. The full reward, brothers and sisters. You can see how easily we could get tripped up in that. And really, you know what that good is? Pray for them. And pray for them in love. How many times have I heard, well, I'm praying for them. No, you're not. You're really not. You're just praying something. You need to pray in love. And I know the difference because I've been there. Well, I'm just going to go pray for them because they're so wrong and wicked and I'm glad I'm not like them, Lord. Let's pray together. Well, they're not going to enjoy that. No, Lord, I'm hurting. That's part of my body. That's your child. And you know what? I want you to increase more love in me that I can love them like you do. And I mean that. That's why we're here, brothers and sisters, is to grow up into Him, to have that kind of love. We have that kind of love flowing and growing in this place. Could you imagine? My goodness. I don't think the walls could hold together, could they? Huh? It's growing, though. It's getting brighter. So we don't just avoid the evil one. But the Lord says, do good unto them that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Let God deal with it. But it also goes on to say, seek peace and continue to pursue it. You'll be rewarded. And it's not in self-righteousness that we're doing this. It's basically operating in the holiness because He's already made me holy. Lord, all the provision's there. Help me to have faith to believe that You're in me. That I am the new creation. And you have made me that. I've got the new man. Hallelujah. And I can operate in that. I don't have to be drawn away in bitterness and all of these different feelings. And Lord, detach that thought of principle. See, there's good stuff in here, isn't there? You'll find all that in Ephesians again. Could you imagine? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and 29. I'll let you read it on your way home. Why, somebody else is driving. All right. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, this is precious and comforting. God cares. God really does care. He cares a lot. And He cares for you. His eyes and His ears are over us. He hears our prayers. He does. Don't get caught in self-pity. He hears your prayers. He does. Yeah, He hears your cries. He knows your petitions. And He responds. He responds as our advocate. He has His wondrous Holy Spirit that maketh intercession for us. And so precious here, it doesn't just stop there. This is the exceeding abundantly God. And He specifically tells us that He's going to deal with that evil, wicked one. He's going to deal with them. He's going to be against them because God is not going to be mocked. When He said that we are the apple of His eye, He meant it. He meant that. And look what He says in verse 13. And who is He? This is like, who does He think He is that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good. Now this is right out of Romans 8:28. I don't know if you can hear that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So wonderful. That which is good is the life that's living called according to His purpose. That's good. That's a good thing. Oh yeah, we're going to read a lot about a good thing in that living a life called to His purpose tonight. But see, God is not going to be in sin. Did you hear that? God's not going to be in sin. He's just not going to do it. Can't look on it. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but He will never support that sin in your life. He's not going to support that sin. You think of it this way. There's a lot of loving dads out there, and I'm so thankful for my dad. And I know he'd done anything for me. But sometimes we can be rebellious. Sometimes there's very rebellious children. Now, let's say there's a rebellious child that goes out there and does drugs. Now, would that dad stop loving that child? Absolutely not. Oh, no. That dad's going to love that child. But is that dad going to go out there and buy his dope for him? Huh? Is he going to say, here's the money, son, go out and go get your drugs? He's not going to do that. He'd be, you know, that's just crazy talk. Well, God's not going to do it either. He's not going to be in that. It will not work together for our good when we let sin reign in our life. It's not going to happen. Carnal flesh always quenches spiritual growth. Just does. Okay? And he never leaves you nor forsakes you. I want you to understand that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But we're talking about growing and abounding, becoming mature in Him, living a life pleasing. We're talking about His very perfect will. That's something that there's a surrendering in our life. That God, by your grace, you're working that divine, abundant grace in me that's causing me to overcome these things. That, as Brother Paul said, don't let sin reign in your life. Yes, brothers and sisters, we will fail. It's inevitable. God's teaching us things in failure. But may we learn to look to Him so quickly in that failure. See, that's what the full overcomer is. That's called the repentant heart. That was Brother David. He said, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, you go search it out. I'm finding out, God, you know me. Oh, wicked man that I am. I understand that, Brother Paul, just like you do. But I'm telling you, God's the only one that really knows all the wickedness. And I'm leaving it to Him. How about you? I am. People, I say, well, you're not taking any responsibility. Oh, I'm giving it all to Him. I'm just pouring it on the one that can do something about it. Yeah. He's the accountability. Praise the Lord. That's the grace that's there that's so freely that I can go get. That's the power. You want to break free from something this evening? Go get more grace. It's there for you. He said it's sufficient for everything. Every single thing. Praise God. All right, 14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Are you happy tonight? Are you happy? Oh, I hope you're happy. Happy in Jesus. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now here it is. We've talked about this. Let the spirit man be happy. Let him rejoice. You going to let him rejoice? Because this is actually leading you to be glorified together with him. We're talking about joint heirship with Christ. Do you ever step back and watch the battle that's going on in your own life? I'm serious. Now, I'm going to go somewhere where you're going to think, where is he going? But really, where you can see the two natures just fighting it out. Lord, I hope you've been there. I see all these heads going, oh man, you just don't know how much I've been there. But isn't it wonderful? That's when you really know God's real. Lord, I know spirit man is there trusting you, but this old nature, he's just trying to hold on to this. There you go. God, you got it. Yeah. Oh, yes. You see how it's hard not to get off in a sermon in every one of these verses, isn't it? But we're at a Bible study, Lord. At a Bible study. Okay. So, this spirit man that's so happy, he realizes that it's not worthy to be compared these sufferings when you hear and believe His word. And he calls it like it is, brothers and sisters, and God always does. He doesn't beat around the bush with us. Suffering at the hand of evildoers, it can be terrifying. Be honest. Be honest. It can be very frightening. The word of God says it's downright terror. But see, what God says here is, He says, don't be troubled. And why? Because I've got you. I've got you. Don't be afraid. I'm here. The everlasting arms, you're right in them. You have to know this. Lord, I'm never alone. Oh, I'm never alone. It might be a desert, but I'm telling you, I've got all sufficiency in all things right there with me. And He's holding me and carrying me. And he tells me, son, not even a hair of your head can be touched. Know it. And here's why. Verse 15. Sanctify. Sanctify. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I'm hopeful that you're asked often. That people really would see that work going on in your life. That they say, how is she doing that? I went through something just like that and I totally fell apart. Who's holding you together? Oh, the one that by him all things consist and hold together. Beyond the glue. It's just him that does it. Formed it, made it. Holds it together. Oh, God. You see what peace and rest we can have in this? We don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. Don't need to be afraid of anything. Perfect love. Perfect love. It casts out all fear. Not some fear, all of it. And you know what I'm talking about. We have all been there, brothers and sisters. Things that are absolutely terrifying. But see, there's a word here, and it's sanctify. Now, we've heard of that many times. It means to separate. But this word in this verse is going much further than separate. It's an espousal separation. Deep things here. Praise the Lord. You don't have to make them deep. They just are. It's God. But the simplicity that comes in the depth, well, even a dummy like me can understand it, Lord. I love you. I'm thankful that you're bringing this forward to me. But he's saying, son, separate to me in that espousal separation. Come to me, your bridegroom, and let me protect you. I like that. I like being protected. I like being kept. I like knowing that I've got a provider. Men, you better know that. You better have confidence in that. I see men, I get calls from them all the time. Well, how am I going to be the provider? How am I going to be the provider? You better trust your provider. Start having confidence in your provider. Live to your means in faith. Boy, I hate insulting God. Most of my life I've lived so far below my means. Brothers and sisters, if we could ever live up to, remotely to, the provisions that have been made. Brother Hill used to talk about that bank account. Trillions upon trillions upon trillions. It's infinity. And yet I'm still writing checks for 10 cents. That's how stupid it is. Oh, I'm saving the Lord. He wants you to spend. Don't you take that wrong. I could see a lot of smiles. I won't say from which gender. I won't say the ones that were getting a little worried. And I know I'm going to have to face something when I go home, so pray for me. Try him. Test him. Lord, can you write this check? Oh, yes, I can. Oh, I love it. I'm getting to love being bold in him. I want to know these scriptures. I do. I was visiting with a sweet brother today. Oh, I want to know the Word of God. But I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. Yep. And you know, he'll do it. He'll meet your heart. He'll meet you with the faith that you want to receive. He'll give it to you. He will. Oh, yes, he does. Praise his name. But see, this espousal is Ephesians 5:26, where it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's Ephesians 5:26. And it's speaking there of the separated part of the church to him. That's the bride that's separated to him. Praise God. The love for the husband toward his bride. And see, this isn't something that just comes from outward or something that we're doing. This is something that comes from within. It's the heart. It's something that he's got to change. It's something that he's got to convict. It's got to be something that he does by his grace. And then that's when you can really start testifying. That's when you can really start telling about this hope. And I'm telling you, this is a deep hope here. It means confident. It means refuge. It means solace there. This is someone who is not occupied with themselves. This is someone who's occupied with the very heart of God. I hope we are. I want to be occupied with His heart. That's knowing God. That's knowing Him. David so encourages me. The prophet that was out there, the men of God that were out there. Hallelujah. This was a boy king. Little snotty-nosed boy. Wonder who I could be talking about. But he was after his heart. He was. And I'm sure different ones looked at him and said, well, what do you know? I know who's for me. And I know who, there's nothing impossible for him. Nothing even hard for him. And I'm not going to prove me. I'm going to go over there and, you know, you can keep your armor. All you ones that your knees are knocking. You ones that maybe do this or quote that or fight this. And I'm just going to go out there in faith. Oh yeah. He called me out there. He called me to battle. Oh yes, He did. And I'm going to go in faith. And you know what? He's already made the victory. He's already won it. What triumph in faith as a child. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's never too late. You're not behind, brothers and sisters. Just let Him put you right up there. He'll put you right at His table all the time. And He will. So let Him keep feeding you. Praise the Lord. All right. So we want to have this testimony. And this testimony, praise God, will always be in gentleness and reverence. All right, verse 16. Let's keep it going. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, this is a sweet thing. All of the preceding life of the faith and love, that's what gives us a good conscience. I want to have a good conscience. Don't you want to have a good conscience? If you're a Christian, you want to have a good conscience. You do. If you're having a hard time with that, it's just you need to yield to the Lord. You know, people talk about sleeping well. Okay, I'll go there, but more important, I want to rest. I want to rest in Him and have that good conscience in Him. And it's not for me, it's just His thankfulness to God that He has caused me to do the right thing. And I'll stand before you here tonight and I'll tell you, I've messed up so many times before. Absolutely. But Lord, praise Your name, You've got me doing the right things. Isn't that a wonder? Oh, where would we be without God? But then that He can take your life and cause you to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's the marvel. I mean, that's a marvel. I hope you marvel if He's willing and doing of His good pleasure in your life. Because if you're just sitting there going, saying, oh, well, it's really not, then He's not willing and doing of His good pleasure in your life. Because you will be thankful when that happens. And you realize, but for God and but for the grace of God, Lord, I just don't even know how low I'd go. I don't know how wicked I'd be. I couldn't even imagine. Yeah, that's exciting. See, I'm operating in faith and love. The Lord is causing us, brothers and sisters, to suffer for righteousness' sake. And though there may be ones that are trying to bring us down, listen to this. They can't do it because there's a rock. And not only is it higher than me, it's higher than you. And it's higher than the one that's trying to bring me down. And if you don't watch out, it might just roll right over you. So I tell my enemies. Oh, hallelujah. I want to just rest that rock is for me. We were rejoicing in that wonderful rock not too long ago. That's what God does. And then in verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And isn't that the case, brothers and sisters? I know it's God-willed. Isn't that precious? God-willed. Not just God-allowed, but God-willed. There is a thankfulness in that. It's working together for my good. It's not working against me because I'm living a life as a servant of sin, but by grace, Lord, I'm living for You. I'm living for You. That's Your call. Lord, I want to live for You. I want You living in me. Praise God. And then that peace that I know that it's working together for my good. I don't know about you, but I love to know that I have purpose going on in my life. And it's not just purpose, it's the greatest purpose there's ever been. Oh, yeah. The magnificence, if I'll allow that perfect will, of the one who's out there searching for the goodly pearl. My, oh, my, what He is doing. All right, verse 18. For Christ also hath once, really underline that, once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Let's never forget that. Once finished, dead in trespasses and sin, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Hope it gives you a chill. I know it's Wednesday. No, we're tired. Let Him love on you. Hallelujah. Once, I believed and I'm reconciled to God. See, when I think that I've got to relay that foundation over and over and over, do you see what an insult that is to the Father? Oh, yes, it is. The once in that death. The just for the unjust, brothers and sisters, isn't that wonderful? Became sin for us who knew no sin. The innocent Lamb of God put to death in the flesh for you and me, but hallelujah, quickened by the Spirit. Now, and He's not alone there. We're quickened together with Him. There's the family. There's the purpose. It wasn't for nothing. It was for everything. It was for you and me. There's that purpose to be quickened together with Him. And how exciting that is that we have died with Christ and we are also risen with Him. Quickening power, His life, alive in us forevermore. And the encouragement here, brothers and sisters, is that we are called to suffer with Him. We are. We're called to do that. That's what He wants. He wants us to join in with that. That there is a cross for me. There's a cross for you. And He said, take up that cross. Don't be afraid of it. Don't. It'd be the greatest reward, value, benefit that you could ever have. One with me. One in my suffering. Lord, I'm going to know You in the fellowship of Your suffering. I'm going to know You by taking up and picking up and gathering that wonderful cross that You want for me to have. I'm going to know You. And brothers and sisters, we are a part of His family. And a true family. You think about this. A true family suffers together. They do. It's what you talk about the sadness, really. I think one of the saddest things in our world today is the breakup of the family. People are without natural affection. Word of God said it would be that way. They dispose of not just human life, which is terrible in itself, But I'm talking about their own flesh and blood. Didn't mean anything to me. Your family, your natural family is a precious thing. Don't ever forget it. God used that as a type of His precious family. God used it as a type that's my family. And sure, I might have a prodigal son that goes away and is running in the kennels of hell itself. But I'm looking for him every moment to return. And not only am I looking for him every moment, I got a coat. I got a ring. And I've got the biggest a hug and a kiss. God help us to have that kind of love. Sure, we're going to be disappointed. And sure, the greatest disappointments are going to come from the ones that are closest to us. You know it. It's just that way. God help us to love. God help us to love. That's what's going to win it. Oh, hallelujah. I think we have time to attack 19 through 22. How about you? Okay, we got a bunch of yays there. I didn't hear a one, but you're being calm. You're sedated. All right. But we'll finish with 19 to 22. By which also... Now, let's stay with this. This is important. It's all important, but this is a real sweet passage. Can be confused so many times over and over. I encourage you to really ask Him to give you that second wind. And it'll make you glad twice. By which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. That was just his family there. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven... You ever had any doubt where Christ is, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. All right. Now, as I just mentioned, there's many distortions of this text. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of error. But I just want to focus on the original meaning. How's that tonight? Let's not go on all those counterfeits. We'd be here way too long. But I want us to, I was encouraged just to go back and remind how at the beginning, when the Lord had us to start sharing Bible studies together, how under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, when He encouraged us to rightfully divide the Word of God, how we need to understand who's speaking, right? Who's speaking here? Who's being spoken to and what is being spoken about? So first off, in this passage, we find out that who's speaking? Well, yes, it is Peter. That's speaking. We understand it's the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, it's Christ. This really is Jesus speaking here. And you think about to whom He is speaking, and yes, it's spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. Spirit in prison, which sometime were disobedient. And there's your first clue, sometime. Now, I ask you this. What is the only thing that has a spirit and is sometime disobedient? Now, I don't want you to blurt out too fast because you might say humans. And that is partly right. But humans that are sometimes disobedient to God means that at other times they've been obedient. Follow that thinking? I think it's very clear. Sometimes disobedient means sometimes you've been disobedient. Sometimes you've been obedient. So I ask you the question, can a sinner be obedient to God? No, cannot. Absolutely right. It's a way to get out there and take the risk. No. I love it. See, obedience can only come and begin by the blood. You must be born again, the Word of God tells us. You must be saved to ever have potential to be obedient. So, who were these sometime disobedients? Well, we read through our passage. These were the saved ones that were living during the time of Noah. See, Noah's family weren't the only ones that were saved at that time that knew the Lord. There were others. But they did not heed God's warning about the coming flood. They didn't heed His warning. These were believers, yes, But they were not looking to the ark. You want another wonderful type of what's going on today. Praise the Lord. Do you see the bridal type in this? There's a soon coming bridegroom who's ready to appear the ark to the ones that are looking and loving and longing and expecting His appearing. Yes, it's the truth. Yes, it is. Now you think about this. God ministered to these people at this time for about 100 years here, because that's about how long it took for Him to build that ark. Okay? You talk about a sermon. I'm going to build that ark, because there's going to be a trying time coming upon us. Yet all those sinners, you think about it, and probably the saved ones, all they could do was mock Noah. You could see that. I mean, he's building an ark out in the middle of a desert, and then he starts gathering animals. You'd have to say, what a nut. Now, come on. You talk about somebody who raised his children right. What do you think of that? They sure did respect and love their daddy, didn't they? They loved the Lord, and they honored Him. They knew that He was seeking God. They knew God was speaking, that God was doing something. Kids, don't be ever ashamed of your parents that love the Lord. Honor them. Honor them. Praise God. So wonderful. So many things in this. But doesn't this kind of sound familiar to you? I think some of the precious people of God that know me and have known me for years, do you know those Odorsios go to church 4 times a week? What do you think's wrong with them? Isn't one time enough? Do you know I sat down with him the other day, and he believes that Jesus could come at any time? Amen. Do you know that he told me that Jesus is coming, and those that are really loving and looking and longing for his appearing as Christians are the ones that are going to meet him in the air? That he has the audacity to think that there's going to be some Christians left behind. What an arrogant sort. Do you see how similar it is? Come on. Absolutely. The ark is coming. Isn't that wonderful? The ark is coming. Sounds so familiar. And then one day, he comes and it's too late. Now see, that brings us to the sweet picture of the Lord here preaching to those in prison. See what it said there? He's preaching to the spirits in prison in the 19th verse. And you think of the ever-living Comforter. You talk about the God of all comfort. Always to His people. Always. These spirits, these ones that were sometime disobedient, they were the ones that drowned. They were the ones that died in this flood. All right, that weren't looking for the ark. Now you think, why would they be called prisoners? Remember where the saved dead went in the Old Testament? They went to Upper Sheol. Okay, let's do a little Bible study here. Stay with it. We're going to wrap this up. Let's go over to Ephesians 4. We just keep going back to Ephesians, don't we? Let's go to Ephesians 4. We'll start reading from the 7th verse. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high. See, that's when Christ Jesus rose, hallelujah, up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Captivity captive. See, for those who may not have heard this before, if you go in and you study through the Word of God in the Old Testament, there was an upper and a lower Sheol. And Sheol means hell. There was a lower hell and an upper hell. And actually, you could look from one side to the other if God so allowed it. Lazarus, remember when that rich one was down in lower Sheol and he looked up there to Lazarus? He could see him and he says, man, am I suffering here. Could you just touch your finger in the water and touch it to my tongue? And what he said, oh, there's a chasm there. No man can go back and forth. It's done. Okay. Upper Sheol was where God's people, the Samuel, the David, the Ruth, the Esther, when they passed, that's where they went. And they were captive there. They were there in that place and holding until the first fruit, the one who had to enter first, would take them up. Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you excited about what's going on? See, too perfect beyond a human mind here. This is what God does. So in the 9th verse, he said, now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first. See, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Oh, that's exciting. There it is. Captivity captive. Jesus let him out. Upper Sheol to heaven. And isn't that wonderful? We see that was Christ was preaching there in Upper Sheol to those souls. Now, why do you think he was preaching to them? They needed to be comforted, didn't they? They did. They were sad. You know why they were sad? Because they missed the warning. They missed the calling. The ever-loving Savior was there to wipe away the tears from their eyes. Just like there in Revelation 7, you'll see the innumerable multitude standing there. And He wipes the tear away from their eye. Do you see the type? Do you see the shadow? There's going to be a sadness to those that know that they miss the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, He'll wipe that away and there'll never be another sorrow ever again. But God forbid, brothers and sisters, especially those that have been given this great dispensation that Paul brought forth, the mystery of the ages, that we would miss that. I mean, it's amazing to me. I look out, it's the aristocracy of the universe. It is. If you want it, He's going to make known to all that He's loved you. A shared glory with Him. I mean, I'm looking at you. I'm excited for you. This isn't anything about buttering it up. This is just the fact of facts. This is the most real reality you could ever even imagine. This is the Word that endures forever while everything else is passing away. I gotta hurry. But they were crying because they knew that the bride had been taken out of Adam while he was sleeping. A couple more comments before we shut it up here. You see there in Ephesians verse 8, it said, and gave gifts unto men. See, he preached to those ones, but then he led captivity captive. And in Matthew 27:52, it says, and the graves were open. That's Matthew 27:52. And many bodies of the saints which slept, they arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now you talk about some gifts. My goodness. See, he gave some gifts to those full overcomers early, didn't he? Moses and Esther and Ruth and David and Samuel. Why wouldn't he give some early gifts to some others at another time? Listen to the Word of God. Do you see how real it is? We had sweet preachers talking about the validation of why the Lord says something twice. I'll say this. Why does the Lord say it infinity throughout His Word? Boy, by His grace, may we pay attention. My hand is here. I'm looking for a bride. I want her more than anything. I've told you from the very first scripture It's not good for my son to live alone. Praise His name. And He said to those ones, those overcomers, I'm going to let you start enjoying some of the exceeding riches right now. Isn't that sweet? But I can hear Him saying, but remember though, it's still not complete till those, the manifestation of the mature sons of God. It's not going to be complete till I take my bride. It's not going to be complete until she reigns with me forever in glory. And brothers and sisters, that's the precious message that's within this. And I'll just touch quickly. The water didn't, nor has ever saved a one. It's not the water. It's the ark. It's the ark. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Man always wants to be seen. They always want to work to be clean. They want to do something to be acceptable here. They want to do something that they think is going to be pleasing to God. That work has already been done. I'm just to rejoice in His Son that's already done it. And say, God, isn't Your Son magnificent? Isn't it wonderful how clean He's made me? Isn't it wonderful that He wants me to grow up to be like Him? I'm telling you, God, Your Son is the greatest. He's everything to me. Everything. And at the cross, completely finished, resurrected, up on high, nothing could keep Him in the grave. His love was too great for you and me. He arose and went on high and seated us together with Him in heavenly places. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that's your God. That's your love. That's the one who wants you to behold that wonderful love. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You again for Your sweet communion with us. We thank You again that You withhold nothing, Lord Jesus. It's just so full. It's so beautiful to just see that Your hands are full of these riches. God, help us to go boldly and to just take from You and to continue to take. May we just feast upon Your wondrous Word. May it fill us up. May we grow up into You, God, in all things. Thank You for this time. Thank You for brothers and sisters that love You so. Thank You, Lord, for this wonderful place that we have. Thank You again for the wonderful body that You're preparing. We just give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.